prayer. In 2 Peter chapter 1, again, this morning, we've been studying on the subject of doctrinal deviations and starting into it, if you will, in 1 Peter and 2 Peter here. And in 2 Peter today, want to deal with the subject of remembering inward pursuits. Remembering inward pursuits. The inward pursuits that we're talking about here are those inward pursuits that are listed for us in verses 5 through 7 of this text. And let's review those. The scripture says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue," which is basically just a general, very general word, a broad word for goodness. And he says, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." If the Lord wants us to be good first and then to know more stuff, you know, he expects us to apply the goodness and love that we should have to begin with, and then to knowledge temperance, which is self-control, and to temperance patience, because trials make us impatient sometimes. I had such a day. I don't know what day it was, Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday. It was like, can anything else go wrong today? It's one of those days, you know. It's like, and so I just knew the Lord was testing my patience, and I wasn't doing very well, I might add. To knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. In other words, that's our relationship to God. That's our fellowship with God, and more and more godliness, thinking about God's will, thinking about glorifying Him, thinking about thanking Him. But all these are internal virtues. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. So kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then to brotherly kindness, charity. And that's love for everybody in the sense in which mankind is to be loved, and in the sense in which that we're to have pity and concern, and we are to be a people who are desirous to help. And so we read these words, and he ends up with charity. Of course, that's a big thing for us as God's people. And it's the last one. It's almost like here's where he was going, in a sense. And we find that is something that is, of course, that love is the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love, you know, that the scripture talks about. And we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But there's the list. Those are internal. He says, if these be in you, verse 8, for if these things be in you. So he's talking about these things abounding within us, and that they become part of our life. They become something that is just the way we live. It's the way we walk. We're pursuing these virtues all the time. We're never going to completely achieve them. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I should become a castaway. But he says he hadn't apprehended. He said, I've not yet apprehended. I know that I haven't gotten there yet, but I keep pressing forward, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we're pressing forward. We seek to press forward more and more. And so we need to, because of that, we need to be reminded of these things. We need to be reminded of the internal pursuits that the Lord wants us to have in our lives all the time. And so those internal pursuits, we need to be reminded of them over and over again. Now, what do we have that helps us, that reminds us all the time of these things? Well, one thing we have is we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God, and in a sense, that's what the Word of God is about to the believer, is changing us from the inside out. It's making us anew. It's causing us as God's people to be to be molded and made more in conformity to the inward nature of Christ and to the way He is. And so we would long to be like our Savior, and as such, we need these internal virtues that are universal virtues that we all should have and we all should possess. They're the pursuits that are basically, as Jesus summarized the law, to love the Lord our God with all our soul, heart, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But they're the inside, they're the motivation, they're the movement within that produces the results, that produces works, that produces goodness on the outside, that the words and the deeds and the thoughts are all coming out in such a way as that the Lord will be pleased. So Peter obviously knows, when you look at this passage, he knows the strongest saint can forget what they've been taught. He knows that the strongest saint can forget things. And we all are forgetful. If there's anything about us as a people, we're forgetful. The more we get older, you'd think that we'd get less forgetful. But I think some of you can tell me that the older you get, the more forgetful you get even. That proneness to forget grows over time. And if that's the case, then Peter is saying here something pretty important to us to remember, that we need to grow in our remembering of these things, and we need to be reminded regularly of these things so that we'll be close to the Lord, so that we'll be honoring to Him, and so that we'll be glorifying Him, and so that the Lord's joy will be upon our lives. So we'll enjoy the Lord. So he's going to talk about remembering here today, and remembrance, remembering inward pursuits. And so we'll go to the Lord in prayer at this time before we go any further and get into the verses here. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word today and just remind us, Lord, of the truths that we already know, and just cause us, Lord, to reflect upon these things. Cause us, Lord, to have our own hearts touched by your Spirit, so that as we think, as we look at these things, that it might move us inwardly to pursue these things, Lord, at a more willful and determinate way and rate. And just strengthen us, Lord, we pray with your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read these verses 12 to 15. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover," verse 15, "I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." He's speaking about remembering these pursuits that he's said we need to add to our lives. So remembering. So Peter, as I said a minute ago, he obviously knows that the strongest saint can forget what they've been taught. Forget and lose focus on the main pursuits of the Christian life. These chief things, objectives and inward pursuits of the Christian life. He himself had a time the circumstances of his life caused him to deny what was true. We remember that. Peter had a time of a pretty substantial fall whenever the Lord was being crucified. He was being tested in terms of his own faith and his own commitment to the Lord, and he miserably failed, which we sometimes do. Christians are good at miserably failing. We're good at falling, but the Lord is good at picking us back up. The Lord is good at getting us back on our feet. And he did so with Peter. He had prayed for him that his faith fail not, the Lord said to Peter. And also, when he came around, the Lord did bring him back around to an understanding. And of course, he was very sorry and sorrowful that he had denied the Lord the way he had the three times before the cock crowed. But we can forget our purpose to enjoy God and to glorify him forever. One of the main purposes, many confessions tell us this, of the Word of God, is that that's the chief objective of man, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And, you know, we are to glorify him, we are to give to him the glory, and then we are to rejoice in him. We are to be a people who are enjoying him, enjoying God. And as God's people, some people think that serving God is just all a bad thing. Well, it's not. It is a good thing. The Lord would have us to enjoy him forever. And we can forget what we are to be respecting our faith. Concerning the faith that we have, we can forget what we're supposed to be. We can forget the kind of attitude, the kind of inward pursuit that we should have as God's people. That virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity that he mentions in this passage. So how did Peter plan for such forgetfulness? He knew we were going to forget. He knew these folk that he's dealing with are going to forget. And so he said, hey, making plans for that kind of forgetfulness. And the way he did that is repeated reminders of what should be. He repeatedly reminded them of what should be, and he's just saying, I'm going to just keep doing it. I'm going to keep reminding you of what ought to be. And, you know, we need that as God's people. We need continuous reminders of what the Lord's will is for our lives. And we read here, and we're going to look at this, and we'll kind of break it down in three segments here. The first thing I want to think about as we're thinking about remembering the inward pursuits is knowing the truth isn't enough. Hold on there. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, but knowing that the truth isn't enough. Second thing is regular stirring up is required. Regular stirring up is required. And then thirdly, the always in remembrance superior way. We'll think about that in just a moment. Okay, so those three things. And I'll tell you what they are again in a moment. Knowing the truth isn't enough. Okay? That sounds kind of odd. That sounds like, you know, where's he going with this? Okay, knowing the truth isn't enough. Look at verse 12. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Okay, you already know the truth. You're already established in the present truth. So then, what more do you need? And Peter is saying, there's more. Peter's saying there's more to just knowing the truth as a child of God. There's more to being a child of God than just knowing the truth. The truth is supposed to have an effect upon our heart. It is supposed to have an effect upon us inwardly, and then obviously it will affect us outwardly. But it's supposed to affect us inwardly. He says, wherefore, verse 12, as I mentioned last week, we looked at a wherefore, therefore in verse number 10. And here's a wherefore, therefore, a therefore, wherefore in verse 12. Wherefore or therefore, what's he referring to? He says, well, through these things that we add, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He tells us that, hey, you know, you're going to have abundance as you enter into the kingdom as a child of God. I don't think he's just talking about reward, but I think he's talking about even in this life that we are the Lord will bless us greatly spiritually in this life, as we're putting these things into place. And he says, wherefore, so because of that, so how weighty a matter this is, because of that, because it is such a grave matter, he says, I don't want you to be negligent. I don't want to be negligent because this is important. I don't want to be negligent. Peter feared ministerial negligence here. He feared that being a minister of the truth to these folk, that he could potentially neglect them. And in neglecting them, what is he talking about? Well, he's going to go on and say that the neglect that he's referring to is not reminding them of the things that he needs to remind them of. Not remembering to remind them of the need for inward change. Not forgetting to remind them of these virtues that they are supposed to be pursuing. And so he's talking about the Christian life and the pursuit of a Christian life that pleases God and that is good for the child of God. Peter feared being negligent of this. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. How is our inward state now? He says, I don't want to be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. He said, I know what these things are. I know this is the Lord's will, but how are we? And where are we at now as God's people? Knowing the truth isn't enough. Putting these things in practice in our life is where the Lord wants us to be. And he's working in us, the scripture says, to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, but first to will it, to desire what God's will is for our life as we see it here. Peter's mentioning it here and these inward pursuits. And so to desire those things and then to do them. So knowing the truth. So now you know what I'm talking about. Knowing the truth isn't enough. Just knowing it, you know it, and you've known it for a long time, but you need to be reminded of it. That we're pursuing it. Not just that we know it, but that we're pursuing it. That we're really seeking to do what the Lord's will is in our life. In verse 13 to 14, second point we said we're going to make. Regular stirring up is required. Regular stirring up is required. You got a recipe and you don't stir anything up. You put the, you know, whatever it is that you're going in with the recipe. You got a bunch of this and a bunch of this and you get just leave it in its clumps and you leave it in its... And you don't stir it all up, it's not going to be what it was intended to be in the recipe if you don't stir it up. It just ends up being, we go to McDonald's sometimes, and no offense to you, Sister Denise, we go to McDonald's sometimes, and we get a caramel coffee. Donna and I, we love caramel coffee, okay. So we get our caramel coffee, and sometimes they just don't stir it up. They don't do it. And so she's not really a coffee fan, period. I love coffee. So if they don't stir it up, that doesn't bother me that much. But she's not a big coffee fan. She needs that caramel and that sweetening part of it big time. And even throws in three Splendas as well just to make it taste even sweeter. So, but stirring it up is important. It makes a big difference when it's stirred up. Well, stirring up these things in our lives is important. Sometimes we need to be shaken a little bit, you know. Sometimes it's like taking the bottle, you know, and it's everything's settled to the bottom, or a can of paint or something, and everything's the solids are all settled to the bottom, and it's all just a bunch of just the solvents that are in the top of the can, and you have to just shake that can. And they even make shakers, you know, you put it in there and it just shakes that can up. Sometimes we need to be stirred up. And he's saying, hey, as God's people, Peter says, you need it regularly. You need to be shaken up. You need to be stirred up a little bit as a child of God. And so So we say, hey, there's no doubt about it. Peter's a minister, and he's preaching to them in a sense, and by giving them the word of God here, and ministers need to preach the word. We need to stir people up about the truth and what our responsibilities are. But as well, as he says here, this action is, it's meet. It's important. It's needed. In verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet. We don't use that word very often. I think it meet. What he's referring to, he says, I think it's appropriate. It's the right thing to do for me to stir you up. It's the right thing to do for me to send you this letter so that you're kind of stirred up about, well, maybe I'm not focused on my responsibility as I ought to be. Maybe I'm not focused in where the Lord wants me to be inwardly. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, he's talking about in his flesh, he's going to put off his tabernacle one of these days, he's going to die. And so he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to stir you up, but the way I'm going to stir you up is not just say a bunch of things that get you emotionally stirred up. That's not the way he's talking about stirring them up. He says, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. You see, there's a big difference between just being emotionally stirred up and being stirred up by the truth, by the word of God. And so he's saying here, I'm going to put you in remembrance to stir you up. This is the way it's going to happen. And Peter had limited time to influence them. He had limited time. Any of us don't have limited time? You got all the time in the world, right? For everything. For anything that's coming, you just got all the time in the world. No, none of us have all the time in the world. It's like there is a limit to our time and our resource, and the Lord would have us to do the best we can with what we have, right? He wants us to do the best we can with what he's given us. And so he wants us to utilize the time. Peter says, I don't want to be negligent. Peter says, I don't want to waste any time. I've only got a short time in this tabernacle. And so as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to be stirring you up. I want to be making sure that you're remembering the things that that we've spoken to you about here. Then thirdly, in verse number 15. Verse 15, he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, what are you talking about, Peter? Now, what are you referring to? This is a transition point in this letter. And it's a transition point in this letter because Peter is now saying, I'm going to be gone, but you still are going to have to remember these things. I'm going to be gone, but you're still going to have to be stirred up about these things, concerning these things. So he says, I'm going to endeavor so that after my decease, after I die, you're still going to remember these things. Okay? So he's going to do his best to remind them of these things. And then where is he going to go with this? Well, he's going to go to the fact that the New Testament is going to be something, it's going to become something that we all have as God's people. It's going to become something that we possess, that we have, and we'll be able to look into it ourselves. And we'll be able to be reminded of these things and not just be reminded of them from the standpoint of an apostle standing before us and giving us new revelation, because that was what was happening back then. But being reminded of these things by something more sure or more stable, and that is the written word of God itself. So that now I'm going to have the scriptures, I'm going to have the Holy Scriptures to ground me and to remind me and to stir me up so that I can look at it and I can say, Here's what the Lord wants. I can meditate on it. I can hear it preached even on Sunday morning. And I can go through the rest of the week and I can be reminded of those things that are in the Word of God. Not just because He said it, but they're in the Word of God. They're things that I'm reminded of Scripture, of passages of the Word of God that do change my life. The Word's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, the Scripture says. It's like a fire that devours. It devours all the evil and the sin and all the wickedness and all the false teachings and all the things that are lies to us. It just burns them all up. And it causes us as God's people to be purified. And so the Word of God is important to us, and He's going to get into it more thoroughly here as the chief instrument of being defended against the ways that are false and the ways of falsehood that are going to come up. So always remembrance, there's a superior way that He's going to refer to. Verse 15 says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Bit by bit revelation is what was happening at the time. Piece by piece, bit by bit, revelation. Truly the Word of God is what Peter was writing to those folk. The Holy Spirit had led him, directed him, and it would be providentially canonized. It would be providentially a part of the Word of God for us today, the New Testament Scriptures. And he's saying, hey, it's going to be a reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we see Paul referring to the same thing, referring to this same transition period, this period of transition in which the Word of God was being completed, and we have the completed Word today. We can be thankful for that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse number 9, Paul says, "For we know in part." He's talking about the prophetic gifts in chapters 12 and 13 here. But he says, right now, we know in part. There's this piecemeal, bit-by-bit revelation that we're receiving at this time, at that time, that transition time. "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect or complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." The prophecy and the prophetic gifts and the gifts of prophecy and the apostleship and things like that. Nobody has been with Jesus. That was a qualification for an apostle. Nobody here has been with Jesus in the sense of literally with him during his during his earthly sojourn. "Then that which is in part shall be done away," he says. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so Paul was talking about this transition period in which that the prophetic gifts, the piecemeal revelation would end and we would have the completed Word of God. We'd have the Scriptures. And we have it today. We've got the complete Word of God today. And as God's people, we don't need these prophetic utterances, supposedly, that people say, "Hey, you know, God told me this." Well, where did God tell you that? Well, in a dream or in a vision or something like that. And, well, wait a minute, are you an apostle? Where did you get this authority? And the truth of the matter is, as God's people, Peter is saying there's something that's far more authoritative and a better way than what we have right now, this piecemeal revelation, and that is the completed Word of God. And so he speaks to them here on those terms, and he says, "We have not followed." He goes on to defend himself as an apostle after this, and we'll look at that next week. But he's going to defend himself in his apostleship, and he's going to defend the words that he's speaking as being from the Lord. And yet at the same time, he's going to say, "Hey, but we have also," verse 19, "a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart." How that, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what we find is that the Lord is speaking to us today, but he's speaking to us through his word. And he speaks to us as we look at his word, consider his word. And there's nobody has authority over the word of God. Nobody has authority to tell you. So the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Remember, they were more noble than the folk in Thessalonica. They just kind of believed whatever anybody told them. But the people of Berea were more noble, and they wanted to make sure that what was being said was true. They tested the word of God. They tried the spirits, if you will, as the scripture tells us that we're to do. They tried the spirits to see whether these things are so, whether God really did say that. Did he say that? Somebody just said God said that. Well, wait a minute. Did he really say that? Is the word of God behind what someone said God said? It's okay to say God said something. It's important to say God said something. I do that all the time. I hope you forgive me for doing it all the time. But that's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm reminding you of what the word of God says, what the scriptures say. I don't have the authority over the scriptures to say, God is telling me this. God is telling me what he's written right here. And therefore it's important to be stirred up concerning the truth, the specific truth of God's word that he's given to us. Peter's endeavor to see them all with the scriptures is an important endeavor, and with trained ministers to continue to remind them of the truth is an important thing. But how is that related to the text? Well, the blessing that we have today of having the Word of God is tremendous. We have the Holy Scriptures, right? We've got the Word of God. We got the complete book. We got the complete revelation from God right here. And it's over. It's done. The Revelation, at the end of the book of Revelation, they don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. It's here. We have it. And so we look to the Word and we say, hey, as God's people, how am I going to be doctrinally sound and not be affected by doctrinal deviations? Well, I've got the Word of God. I got the Lord. I need to have a close relationship with Him Himself, and I have what He says. I have what He says. And He says, He speaks to us day by day through His Word. And so we're thankful, we're grateful for that, and encourage us all to be remembering the inward pursuits that we have. Let's be reminded of those things and seek to, as best the Lord gives us ability, to make the best use of the time that he's given us in this life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for Christ, who endured the cross for us and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a man and became sinful flesh for us, though he did not sin. That he took and bore the penalty of our sin and endured the humiliation, the shame that we all deserve. And yet, Lord, we rejoice that we have a complete and a perfect righteousness in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that assures our hearts, that gives us peace before you. And it assures us of the truth that we speak. And we just pray that you would bless that the word of God would have its proper place in each of our lives and each of our hearts, and we honor you and give to you glory. Help us to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Help us to rejoice in you day by day in our lives. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be thankful for the wonderful ways, though we don't deserve any of your blessings, we don't deserve any of the wonderful things that you provide for us every day. We're just thankful and we're grateful for them, and we pray that you'd help us to make the most of them. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. It's good to have everybody.